Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening from Luke chapter 18. I read one verse, especially as text verse for the sermon. Luke 18, verse 10. I read God's holy and infallible word as follows. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The theme for the sermon is how to pray. 3 points of attention. The first point, formal. Second point, heartfelt. And the third point, result. So the theme is how to pray. 3 points, formal, heartfelt, and result. Congregation, I imagine that there was a situation of an open house. We might have some this year again. After a graduation, for example, and people come to visit the open house and they bring something. And there are two people coming there. One of them has a big box and it's wrapped in a beautiful way. And well, it seems there is something great that he brings as a gift. But when the box is opened, and then they start to take out what is in. It's only old newspapers, and there's hope that they will find something in the box. But at the end, the whole box is empty and it's all useless, has no value at all. That would really be a big disappointment, isn't it? Why did this person do that? It seemed to be something with value. It looked so nice. It's really nothing. You would really feel bad if that would happen to you, isn't it? But that other person, he came and it looked like he had nothing. But then he put a simple, dirty envelope in a box that was standing there. And when it was opened, it had all the money that was needed for the study, for the college. That would be a real surprise. Didn't expect that. Isn't that what we see in this parable, where we see two men, they go to the temple to pray. Oh, they look very different. Oh, we can make such a mistake if we look at the outward appearance. The Lord Jesus is telling this parable. We read two parables here in this chapter 18 of Gospel according to Luke. You can say those two parables belong together. The first parable is spoken by the Lord Jesus with a purpose that man ought always to pray and not to faint. That's the teaching in this parable. We ought always to pray and not to faint. Tell me, how is that in your life? Is that what you really do? Always to pray and not to faint. We are so ready to faint in prayer. I've been praying for this thing for a long time. For weeks, for months, for years. I do not see the result. I better quit praying. It doesn't help at all. That's how we can think. It is unbelief. It's a shame. Oh, how many times did the Lord bring his word before it came in your heart? How long did you keep it out? Because of the hardness of your heart. If you think about that, we will be ashamed that we can be so impatient. Spurgeon says, when we pray many times, we are like a man knocking on a door and immediately running away, not even waiting till the door is opened. Man ought always to pray and not to faint. What does prayer mean for you? Is it a need for your soul? Is the joy for your heart to come before the Lord, to be near to God in Christ, to know Him? Oh, I hope, I pray that you can say that you for Christ's sake know the Lord as your Heavenly Father, and that you come in a childlike fear to lay everything before the Lord, to worship Him, to thank Him, to rejoice in His goodness, that you lift up your hearts to the Lord, to see His glory. Men ought always to pray, not only one or 2 days in a year, not only at the Lord's Day, not only one or two times a day. No, oh, let it be the attitude of our hearts, like meditating on the Word, like we read in Psalm 1, and to pray that it will be our life to pray and to ponder the Word in our hearts. So that's the first parable. Man ought always to pray. It's what the Lord wants us to do. I hope you can say this, what I want to do. The next parable is really related to this one. It's not that we only should pray, but also the Lord is teaching us how we should pray, what our heart should be, what the way of prayer should be. It should not only be a formal prayer. I was thinking about that man in prison last Lord's Day. I told it in a youth group. After I meditated, I used John 12, where two Greeks came and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And afterwards this man said with tears in his eyes, "Oh, that's what I want." And he says, "That is what I experience, but I wanted more." You could see it was something from his heart. You could feel it. He says, "I've been many times in jail, in prison. This time it's different. It is as if I am not here. There's a freedom in my heart." Oh, what a difference. How we pray. Is it just a formal thing, or is it heartfelt? Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. It seems like they're going to do the same thing. Although they are so different outwardly. The one is a Pharisee. What is that? What is a Pharisee? Do you know that, children? The word Pharisee is a word that means someone who is a separatist. To separate. So they were a group of people among the Jews, religious people, a certain movement that existed in the time after the captivity, after the exile, that the people had been taken captive to Babylon, and they returned and they built a second temple. There was this group of Pharisees, a movement, a religious movement. They kind of separated themselves and they took the law of the Lord very seriously. They really wanted to be obedient to the law of the Lord in every aspect, the Pharisees. And it was not a group And that were the Sadducees. They were different. They had different thoughts, different beliefs. And they were also from a different class in society, you could say. The Sadducees, they were the upper class, the more wealthy people. And they had a majority in the Sanhedrin, the board, you could say, those that were ruling the religious court, they were ruling the people. The Sadducees had a majority. But the Pharisees, they were more from the middle class, and they had more contact to the common man. And that made that he had a lot of power. So many times the Sadducees had to give in to the Pharisees because they had most influence among the people. So those Pharisees, they were very strict in keeping the law. The Sadducees, yeah, they had the books of Moses, they had the Bible, the Old Testament, but they did not believe in a resurrection of the dead. And they did not believe in the spiritual reality of angels and devils. They did not believe in a life after this life. But the Pharisees did. So here is a Pharisee, one of, you could say, the separatists, one of those people of that movement that wanted to keep the law. And they believed the word of God, but they also had traditional teachings that they gave the same authority. And they said, yes, we do that because they go all the way back to Moses. And they had more than 600 rules besides the law that we find in Scripture. So they took it very seriously. And here we see one of those Pharisees going to the temple. And there he is, standing and praying. And it says here, he prayed with himself. And actually, that is what is happening here. He prayed with himself. He came with himself before the Lord. He was busy with himself. That was how his religion was. You can see that clearly. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He had seen this man, this publican, coming to pray, and he's despising him. He feels so much better. And if you think about this prayer of this Pharisee, you see that he is not even asking for something. He is thanking God, but he is not thanking God because of the goodness of God. But he is thanking God because of the goodness of himself. There is no need in his life. There is no contrite or broken heart and spirit in this man. There is pride that I am not as other men. And we can clearly see the purpose of the Lord Jesus with this parable. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And this is an example of such a person who is trusting in himself and at the same time despising others. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I do more than the books of Moses are teaching. It sounds like he says, oh God, thou should be thankful that there is a man in this world like I am. At least there is someone who is living such a good life, and that is me, putting himself in the center and at the same time despising his neighbor. This man that knew so much about Scripture, that knew so much about the law of God, he is so blind, he does not see that he is breaking the law with both hands in a most horrible way. The law that is fulfilled by love. To love God above all and your neighbor like yourself. And that's not the case at all in the life of this man. He loves himself above all. And he's despising his neighbor. Oh, we have so much reason to examine our hearts. Here is a religious man, a faithful man, in going to the temple and in praying. And he is not aware about the sinfulness, the deep corruption and depravity in his life. He's blind. He doesn't see it. And Christ is telling this parable that he might see it. Now, very sharp words in Scripture about Pharisees. It's a terrible sin to have pride in your heart. It's a terrible sin to despise others. It's a terrible sin to trust in yourself and not in Christ alone. To think that you are righteous, that I am righteous, and to judge someone else despising your neighbor. It makes us worth to be condemned by God. Can you imagine a person living with such a guilt before God, and so full of pride, so satisfied about himself, so blind? How dangerous is pride? So John the Baptist preached against it. He called the Pharisees right away, generation of vipers. And the Lord Jesus using those words exactly in the same way. If you would read Matthew 23, most of that long chapter are words of the Lord Jesus against the Pharisees. I don't think you can find any chapter in Scripture more sharp than this chapter. Words of the Lord Jesus. He has such a tender heart for sinners. But there's a holy indignation in his heart against these people that were despising others and trusting in themselves that they were righteous. I'm afraid this parable goes about church people, isn't it? People like you and I. Oh, so inclined to trust in ourselves. So inclined to look down upon others. They do much worse than we do. That's not the attitude of Christ. Oh, what a sharp parable, isn't it? Two men. The one is a Pharisee. And people looked to those Pharisees, thought highly of them, and they loved it. They liked it. It's a danger. to danger. They were standing at the corner of the street praying for a long time so that man would see it. They would trumpet when they would donate money, cast money in the chest in the temple. And the people would see it. Oh, what a shame. At the same time, they would oppress the widows. Oppress in such a way that they would lose their houses. Lord Jesus, you eat the houses of the widows. Unrighteous. You are like sepulchres, whited sepulchres. Outside is beautiful, and the inside is dead. It smells. It's just a formal prayer. It's not something coming from a broken heart, which is acceptable to God. So what about the other man, this publican? He is praying in such a different way. It's a heartfelt prayer. What is a publican? A publican is a person that is collecting taxes, working for the Romans, and they were hated very much by the Jewish people. The Jews hated them because they asked too much money. They made them to pay too much money so that they would get rich in this position that they had. So the Romans gave them the task to collect the taxes in a certain area or city or province, and then they had to pay to the Romans. They used that position to ask much more so that they would become rich. We remember Zacchaeus, when he was converted, when the Lord Jesus came in his life, he told the Lord Jesus, I'm going to give it back. Everything that I've stolen, pay it back. And so, it was clear that he did steal. And that was common. They did that. So that was one reason that they were hated, despised. Another reason was that they worked for the Romans, the oppressors. So they were kind of seen as betraying their own people. And the Jews, they had to pay because they had the power of the Romans behind them. But they made them know that they despised them. When they had to pay, it could be that they turned their head away and would throw the money. And they would spit at the ground, show how deeply they despised the publicans. And that man is going to the temple. What is he going to do there? Pharisee despised him. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He smote upon his breast as if he would say, well, there is the problem. There is a trouble here within, in my heart. What a different prayer. Standing afar off. He didn't dare to come near. And he would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, ashamed before a holy and righteous God. And then his prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, how different it is. Here is no pride, no self-exaltation, but self-abasement. Oh, here is a real petition, a real need in the life of this person. You understand that? You understand this spirit in the publican? And it's a very personal prayer. It's not a vague prayer like, Lord, we are all sinners. No, nothing like that. Be merciful to me, a sinner. It became very personal in his life. It was about him. He could not stand before a holy God. It's a humble prayer. He is abasing himself before the Lord. It's a prayer for mercy. Lord, be merciful. So there is some hope and some faith in his heart. That's why he is praying for mercy. We can see that it is something that comes from his heart. It's a heartfelt prayer. It's a world of difference. Difference at the outside. No one would respect the publican. And everybody would respect the Pharisee. Well, there is a difference. Not everybody. The Lord Jesus did it different. He warned the Pharisees. And they told about the Lord Jesus that he was eating with sinners and publicans. He did not despise them. He told Zacchaeus that he had to stay in his house. The Lord Jesus was so different than the majority of the people. So, oh, let us examine our hearts and our lives. It makes all the difference how we pray today and every day of our life. It makes all the difference. It makes such a difference in the result of prayer. Let us sing before we continue. And let us sing Psalter 120, stanza 1 till 4. 120, stanza 1. Judge me, God of my salvation. Plead my cause, for thee I trust. 120, stanza 1 till 4.
congregation, what is the result? What is the result of prayer in the lives of those two men? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. The publican went home justified. He who saw himself as a sinner before God, who abhorred himself before the holy God, who didn't even dare to look up to come near, he went home justified. Oh, this is what Paul says in Romans 5. We being justified by faith have peace with God. Justified by faith. What is faith? Faith is to rest in Christ, to seek from the Lord what you cannot find in yourself. Sometimes it sounds like people think faith is that they perform something, that they do something that makes them worthy. And faith is to quit, to perform something, and to see that Christ accomplished everything. Faith is to come in your poverty, your shame, your unworthiness, that you do not deserve it, and to cry out before the Lord, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here is faith. He came to pray in all his need, in all his guilt, where he had to condemn himself, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Smote upon his breast. We need to be justified. Oh, if we would die in our sins, we will perish forever. But God has prepared in Christ what you need to be accepted by God in Christ, in the Beloved, in the Son. And it is by faith. It is to come like this publican, to come with your shame, your guilt, your condemnation, your hopelessness, your impossibility, your depravity, your corruption, to come and to cry out, to expect it from the Lord alone. Oh, there's nothing, nothing, nothing that you can find in yourself. You deserve to be condemned. And he went home justified rather than the other. So that means the other one not. This Pharisee, he did not receive anything, no forgiveness of sins. He's not aware of any sin. He doesn't confess any sin. Oh, if we confess our sins before the Lord with sincerity of heart, he will forgive. He will justify us by faith for Christ's sake, for the merits of Christ and his work. But the Pharisee doesn't do that. No, he's trusting in himself, something that a publican could not do. No, his only hope was outside of himself. Oh, that the Lord would be merciful to him, a sinner, would be gracious. You don't hear that from the Pharisee. No, he's trusting in himself. He doesn't receive anything. He goes home with his terrible guilt of pride and self-righteousness, dishonoring the Lord
in a most horrible way. Despising the way of atonement, trusting in himself. So there is salvation for publicans. The Lord Jesus was eating with them. Are you sitting here as a publican, ashamed about your sin? Don't know what to do. Don't find anything in yourself. Oh, I proclaim you, it's all in Christ. It is by grace. It is for free. It is prepared in Him. It is sufficient in what He did. And God will not turn away such a sinner that's crying out to Him. And you say, well, I have an unbelieving heart. Yeah. So, that's the more reason that you cry out for grace. Oh, and if you would have asked this publican, do you have faith? Would he have told you, yes, I have, it's good enough? Probably not. He had nothing. Nothing to make him worthy. But he did come, and that's faith. He did come to pray. He did cry out to the Lord, and that is faith. He couldn't bear it anymore. He cried out of the need of a broken heart, contrite spirit. Not in a way that he thought, now he was broken enough that he was worthy. No, he was unworthy. And that's why he looked unto the Lord. Oh, that you would come tonight, today, with nothing. All your lack to Christ. He will save you. That is for sure. That's the gospel. Come with nothing. Nothing. Oh, even if you lack that heartfelt prayer, come. Tell the Lord, Lord, oh, I have nothing. That's how the publican came. Yeah. And now the Pharisee is here tonight. Is there a Pharisee here? Say, well, then it's lost for me. I tell you, there is grace for Pharisees. You remember Saul? I mean, Paul? He was a Pharisee. He trusted in his own righteousness. He was proud. He was a Jew from a good tribe. He was circumcised. He was a Pharisee. He was not to be blamed in any way according to the law. He had a zeal for the Lord. And God saved him. Christ revealed himself to Saul and was over with his self-righteousness. From that moment, he cast it away like dung. There is salvation for publicans and Pharisees. Remember Nicodemus? He came to the Lord Jesus. He had a lot, and he wanted to have some more. He had heard about Jesus. He thought, well, this teacher can teach me some more. And the Lord told him, you have to be born again. And the Lord worked in his heart. You see his love. When he took Christ from the cross, a Pharisee. Pharisees are saved by grace. And publicans, Zacchaeus, and Levi, they are saved by grace. They both need grace. And there is grace in Christ for Pharisees, for publicans. Oh, God is mighty to make a publican from a Pharisee tonight, like he did to Paul. Oh, there is such an abundance in Christ. Pray. Pray on this day of prayer. Come the way you are with your lack. Christ is all for those that have nothing. He is the one that is teaching you everything. He is the one that is inclining the hearts, proud hearts, dirty heart, filthy heart, hearts of stone. He's taking them away and giving a heart of flesh. He's working the fear of his name. He's washing by his blood. I say, I'm so weak. I've tried many times. I cannot. I'm so disappointed in myself. I'm so glad to hear that. I'm so glad to hear that. Because Christ is so strong. He is a king. You say, I cannot discipline myself. I know. I'm like you are. But God did. God does. He's king. Christ, king in your heart. Ruling you by his word and spirit. Washing you by his blood. Teaching you by his spirit and his grace and his word. It's all in him. I'm so glad that you cannot find anything. I hope that you have to say that tonight so that you will pray out of the need, and he will fill with his grace. It's so sweet. It's sufficient. And he will get all the glory. Oh, let this day be a day of prayer. Praying this way, like this publican. You might be a Pharisee, or whatever you are, pray. And he will hear, and he will save. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, bless thy word to our hearts. There is such a perfect way of salvation in Christ. Lord, oh, we are so foolish. We are so stubborn. Oh, Lord, we are so proud that we do not want to live by grace. Lord, forgive us. Oh, Lord, be merciful unto us sinners, that we will kneel down, that we will see tonight that faith is to sink down on the rock of ages, to find in Christ our foundation, to find it there every day. Oh Lord, we will be ashamed every day. We will be disappointed every day about ourselves, but not about Christ. He is all. Oh Lord, that we will abide in him. We will never change, that we need him. He is divine. To be a branch in that vine. Oh Lord, that outwork fruit. It will only make us bow down, humble more. Lord, bless thy word. Draw us with ropes of love to thee. Teach us to pray. Lord, thou art good. Thou art great. Thou art gracious. That this season will be a fruitful season, O Lord, for the prosperity of thy kingdom, that thy church will flourish. Lord, O, let a day come that a full harvest will be taken, O Lord, by Christ, and he will come. We pray, Lord, that we all will be prepared for that great day, to be with him, to see him like he is, to rejoice in him forever and ever,
to be satisfied by His glorious image. Lord, hear us. Forgive our unbelief. Forgive us, O Lord. Wash and cleanse us by the blood of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.